Is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 a worthy send-off to everybody's favorite cosmic screw-ups? We answer that question and more this week on Only Stupid Answers. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Only Stupid Answers. This is a show where we answer your questions about movies, TV shows, Guardians of the Galaxies, and more. With me, as always, is Roxy Sire. Hi, Roxy.
Hi, DJ.
We're going to do this as if we didn't record something before this. How you doing?
I'm so good, DJ. How are you this morning?
Listen, I'm great. I'm great. Happy to have you here. Happy to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. We're gonna do some news. We're gonna do some non-spoiler talk, and then we're gonna do some spoiler talk for those of you watching live. We're going to throw to a. You're gonna have to catch up later. You're gonna have to catch up later for that. But first, a little bit of business up top. Of course, you can listen to this show everywhere that matters, all right? And if you want to give us a 5 stars on iTunes, we truly appreciate it. Please and thank you. On Spotify, every week, if you listen on Spotify, we ask a question, except last week because I forgot because they changed their formatting, and so it's not where it normally is, and so I forgot to do it. So there was no question last week. I apologize. But there will be a question this week, and God damn it, you better answer it.
What did you think you invented?
What did you think? Did anybody in the comments answer that? Did you all invent something?
They're all and being I missed it? Shameful about it.
You got to admit what you think you invented. For those that are just tuning in, we do the show live, and on what we're into, we asked if you invented something. For me, it's mostly like I'll have like a story idea or a script idea. I'm like, this is fucking genius, man. This is I've never seen anything like this. And then you do like just a little bit of research. You're like, oh, this is a whole subgenre. There's like 15 of these things. Got it. Cool.
Totally.
I feel much less special now. Of course, so if you want to watch it live, if you want to comment on the show, ask questions on the Discord, all that stuff, you can do that over at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. We really appreciate it over there. And if you wanted to catch our spoiler discussion early, you could do that over at Patreon. A lot of cool stuff over at Patreon. Also, I think within spitting distance of this week, we're approaching our next Mutant Academy, where Sal and I are talking about X-Men movies. We're going to be talking about X2. We do that every third Wednesday, so stay tuned for that. But now we got all that business out of the way. Let's do some news, why don't we? This episode, we pre-recorded this episode, so some of this is going to feel a little bit dated, but I still wanted to talk to Roxy about it, so you're just going to have to suck it up, buttercup, and deal with it. So as of this recording this week, we had CinemaCon, and we'll start with the small stuff first. We got some Kraven news. Roxy, you excited for Kraven news? Kraven the Hunter news?
I genuinely am not. But
oh, cool. Okay, well,
but I'm not, and you tell me, based on that voice, do you feel the same as I do?
Hold on. Well, let's see if this moves the needle for you, Roxy. This is the Kraven the Hunter movie, Spider-Man villain, another Spider-Man villain movie without Spider-Man. Starring Aaron Taylor Johnson and his abs. We found out at CinemaCon this week that it's going to be rated R.
Mm-hmm.
How are we doing? We're getting into moving the needle
R-rated
for you?
R-rated things, I guess.
Yeah. So, like, there's more blood in the movie. Make you feel like, yeah. All right. No, not at all. I don't know why this movie exists, so I don't know why I should care if it's rated R or not.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
So we're the same.
Alessandro Nivola, who I believe was in that Sopranos movie, has been revealed to be playing the Rhino, another classic Spider-Man villain that will not be fighting Spider-Man in this movie.
Wait, I don't know who that is.
The Rhino?
No, Alessandro.
Alessandro Nivola. He played. Did you see Many Saints of Newark, the Sopranos movie?
Yeah.
He played the main guy.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he played Michael. He played. Michael Imperioli's father.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. He was good.
Okay, so he's playing the Rhino. How you feeling about that?
It's not a selling point.
Okay. All right. We're not quite there. What? Okay. Let me ask you this. What could I tell you about this movie that you'd be like, okay, interested now? I have a very clear answer for me, but I want to know what your answer is.
I don't think I have one, DJ.
For me, if it was a Spider-Man movie and Spider-Man was in the movie.
Right, but they're not going to do that. So anything that they are going to do?
Nope. Oh. Of course, if it's like really good, there's been a lot of things that are dumb on paper. That Lego movie. Lego movie on paper seems really fucking dumb. It was a really good movie.
I thought Joker movie seemed weird on paper, and then I really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it when I saw it in theaters. I watched it again. It didn't quite hold up as much.
I only ever saw it once.
Good. You're in a perfect place. I don't recommend watching it again. But you're right. I mean, at least it was successful, right? At least Joker, however you feel about Joker, was successful.
Right.
So like there is a reality where like, oh, the movie's good. I don't care. But I think even more realistic is them putting Spider-Man in it. And then I would be much more forgiving of it. Okay, that's the preamble to the big news. The big news is at CinemaCon, we got us people that were not able to attend, got a mere trailer out of it. But for those that were able to attend, they got to see The Flash. And we got first reactions. And I think it's safe to say that they were glowing. And I had mixed feelings about the reactions.
A lot of the reactions started with this sentence. I know Ezra Miller has done some controversial things, but...
Controversial. That's a way of phrasing it. Sure.
I was like, maybe just don't mention it if that's how you could phrase it.
Yeah, I think what we're talking about is there a lot of very specific praise put on Ezra Miller. If you're listening to the show for the first time, or if you're just tuning in to this show and pop media and pop culture in general just now, Ezra Miller has done 4 years. Let's be generous and say Ezra Miller has done some controversial things. That's crimes. That's another way of putting it. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Listen, maybe Ezra Miller is really good in the movie. I don't know that I'd mention that. I don't know
thinking about my review of this movie, which I haven't seen the movie, obviously, but
neither of us have. Yeah.
I think what I will do is talk about how the movie was. Talk about Andy Muschietti.
Yes.
Talk about the other actors and talk about the future of DC and what I think this movie means for it.
Yeah.
I just don't see a world, even if Ezra Miller blows me away, which they might, because the problem has never been that they're not a good actor.
Yes.
Although, if you remember, DJ, from reviewing Justice League with me, the OG one, Ezra Miller was my least favorite part.
Yeah.
So,
And I got to be honest, the trailers have not been selling me on their performance, they're just trailers.
I think they're much better in other movies, movies and whatnot. But that being said, nobody's ever tried to arrest Ezra Miller based on them being a bad actor.
Yeah.
It's the choke slamming of the woman in Iceland, the two arrests in Hawaii threatening to kill somebody, throwing a chair at somebody's head, the grooming of two underage girls, and the burglary in Vermont. Those are the things.
Yeah.
So, like, I just don't really feel like talking about Ezra after seeing this movie. Who knows? It could be so different, but, like, just all the reviews mentioning them, which makes sense because they are the star, is exactly the reason why people are annoyed that they're in this movie in the first place, even though they're not doing press for it. It's like, this is still a showcase for somebody who was facing 26 years in prison.
So how likely is it that this movie makes $1 billion and Warner Brothers is like, no, Ezra Miller's great. And we just move on and Ezra Miller's career just doesn't miss a beat.
The first part, how likely is it that this movie makes $1 billion? I would put at 75% likely.
Okay.
The second part, I would put at 50% likely.
Okay. Cool. Coin toss. Love it. Love it. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure how we're going to go about covering this movie. I do feel, because of what we do, obligated to cover it.
Would you agree or disagree with this statement? I'm not sure I agree with the statement, but here's the statement. The Flash is the biggest movie of 2023.
Definitely one of, if not the one of. So, I mean, like, considering what we do, yeah, it's definitely up there. it's definitely, we need to cover it up there. I would say
The Flash is definitely top three, but maybe the biggest movie of the year.
Yeah.
That's why I don't really see. I do think it's going to make $1 billion, especially with the buzz.
Yeah. Oof. Oh my God. So many fucking issues with my camera. Sorry, everybody.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. I've got this. I downloaded this whole thing that was supposed to help me with this bit, and it sure fucking isn't. Anyway. Cool. Okay.
Ezra is dealing with your technology and is like, stop talking about me, DJ.
Listen, I'm a big believer in giving people a second chance, okay? And so they're like, they did the work, okay? And so it's like, I can give them an IT job. And look what's happening is all I'm saying is look at what's happening. Yeah, I think, you know, obviously you try to separate art from artist. That's easier. Like, when that's one thing when we're covering it. I don't know that I would recommend people going to see it, but like, just because you don't want to...
You don't feel like you can have somebody do press for a movie.
Yeah.
Should you show the movie? Like, yeah. I almost wish they were having Ezra do press because, yeah. Like, you're telling me as a company, you can't put them in front of people.
Yeah.
But you're going to put them on the big screen?
Yeah. Oof. Well, Roxy, money.
But you get what I'm saying? Like,
oh, 100. I get what you're saying. 100%.
You can't even put them in a room with somebody because you're so afraid of what will happen.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
you can pre-recorded have them on the screen. Like,
yeah. And I'd like to think that it's like those decisions have been made. Listen, Ezra's out. It doesn't matter how well this movie does, but again, money. Like, we know that's not how the math works.
No one said that, DJ. No one said that.
Well, they're not going to say it before the movie comes out. They're not going to be like, by the way.
They did for Zachary Levi.
Did they? For all we know, Zachary Levi is still Shazam.
Essentially, DJ, none of them said anything like, this movie's going to be great. We're looking forward to seeing more in the future.
Yeah, they will say a lot of like, hey, by the way, this is the best superhero movie ever. I'll just say this as a movie, it has an uphill battle with me. I love the Tim Burton Batman movies, but I don't care to see Michael Keaton's Batman, like him coming up on screen being like, you want to get nuts? I'm like, I don't care about this. I don't care about Flashpoint as a story. And at this point, all the Ezra Miller stuff, it's going to be an uphill battle for me. Just letting you all know in advance about how is the trailer cool? Sure. But like, we'll see. We'll see. I'm hoping James Gunn has the sense to like find money reasons we put it out, but we're gonna move in a different direction after this for all of the reasons, every reason. Okay, that's that. Everybody, get excited for this Flash movie, or don't. However you feel. We're gonna go on a quick ad break, and then we'll be back with Guardians of the Galaxy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're back. Hello, everybody. We're talking about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which Rox and I literally saw just last night. You're getting our takes fresh off the Barbie. I don't even think there's a Rotten Tomatoes for this bad boy yet. Let me bring it up. Let me see.
There should be as of 10 this morning.
But like, they still have to aggregate it, right?
No.
No. Okay, hold on. Let's see.
I got it. You keep going. I'll pull it up.
Okay. Looking good for them. So, of course, this is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, directed and written by James Gunn. Still reeling from the loss of Gamora, Peter Quill rallies his team to defend the universe and one of their own, a mission that could mean the end of the Guardians, if not successful.
Currently has an 80% on the tomato meter with 59 reviews.
That's pretty solid. We're going to keep this spoiler free, and then we're going to be doing a spoiler discussion. So, deep breath, spoiler free thoughts. What do you think, Roxy?
Why'd you have me take a deep breath, DJ?
That was actually mostly for me, because for those that don't know, hosting and producing a show at the same time, when you're having technical issues is a lot. I was projecting. Deep breath for me.
I thought that was about the content of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. I just want to know.
It is heavy. It is the heaviest Guardians movie.
But can you please just tell me off the top, did you like it or no?
I did. I'll start. I liked it. This is my favorite Guardians movie. It does have issues. Specifically, I think it spoiler free, the first two acts, I'm in it to win it. Like, this movie's got me sold. Like, I'm in. The third act kind of collapses in on itself, and it does. I don't think it delivers on the promise of it delivers specifically. I meant to look this up before we recorded. Chukwudi Ugwuji, he was in Peacemaker. Hopefully, I got the name approaching right. He plays High Evolutionary in this. They really sold me on him as an antagonist. Like, his motivation, the performance is fucking great. Really fantastic, and then it kind of doesn't matter in the third act. He's kind of just a guy that they fight. For me, the movie kind of falls apart in the third act. So in a weird way, I think it sticks the landing for the franchise while it doesn't quite stick its own landing, if that makes sense. Mm. But for the most part, I this is my favorite of the Guardians movies.
That's interesting. I loved the third act.
Yeah.
I think might have been my favorite. I took somebody to see this who had not seen the first or second movie.
Wild.
And she loved this.
Cool.
And I thought that was really cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people are going to see this movie who haven't seen the first or second.
And also, not just the first and second, but also Infinity War and Endgame are kind of crucial to the plot of this movie.
Also incredibly crucial to the plot of this movie, the holiday special.
Oh, true. Yeah.
Like, you know, there's some stuff that I was like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. It was sad.
Yes.
And dark. And I liked Rocket's storyline in this.
Mm-hmm.
I liked a lot of their storylines in this. But I really liked who they decided to focus on and, like, in what way. I also love Will Poulter.
For the amount that he's in the movie, he's very good.
I really liked him. I think that this movie was fully loaded. I think that James Gunn does an unbelievable job juggling things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so that nothing is wasted. Everything kind of makes sense. Tonally, he's juggling things. Thematically, I mean, he's got a lot to do here. Granted, he's got a lot to do because he decided to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't believe how well this works with everything it was trying to accomplish and does accomplish.
Yeah, I think, not for nothing, I think this is the best Chris Pratt has been in any movie. But I think really he's good here.
Phenomenal in this.
And it's a good reminder, like, after, like, the Jurassic Worlds and stuff, it's like, oh, yeah, this is why we like Chris Pratt. Like, these movies understand how to utilize him in a very good way. And not just that, but he stretches himself in ways I don't think I've seen him do in movies before. And I think he really does great here. I think this is the most interesting the team has been. And I think maybe that's part of the difference here is I don't particularly like the Guardians movies. I think the team's kind of one note. It's like you've got stupid man children, and then you've got Gamora the mom. Like, that's the team. I think the dynamic is much more interesting here. Gamora has never been more interesting than she is in this movie.
She's so good.
which Zoe Saldana is great. I just think she's underutilized in those movies. I think in this one, she's very good. Nebula is great. That's what I'm saying. Like again, I think this is the most interesting iteration of the team. It also kind of addresses issues I've had, specifically with like Drax's characterization. It doesn't do anything to change it, but it acknowledges it.
That is so interesting, DJ, because I think that this might be the best ensemble of any franchise.
Yeah, and a lot of people feel that way, and that might be why you feel different about the ending, because not spoiling anything, the ending is very much a love letter to this franchise, which I don't care. So I was much more interested in the ending of this particular story, which I don't think it figures out in a compelling way, but that's spoilers, so I'm not going to get into that. I like a lot of what we do with Rocket. I will say, as anybody who was reading comics in the 90s like me, Adam Warlock is a huge fucking deal. He is not in this movie. He is just a dude. He's just a dude in this movie.
I don't feel that way at all.
You could cut him out of the movie and it wouldn't change anything. You could replace him with a different henchman and it wouldn't change the movie at all.
What are you talking about, DJ? The third act?
He's not in it. It's spoilers. I can't get into it. I can't get into it. But literally, you could replace him with like pig face person, and it's not. It's what I'm saying is,
See the movie?
He doesn't have the impact that he had on the 90s cosmic Marvel. Like, he is just another character in the movie. So anybody,
what?
Yeah, I mean, I stand by that. I stand by it. I think we could have done more with Adam Warlock. I think we could have done more with High Evolutionary. But I do. But again,
Sly's character, that was fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's my major note of the movie. I think there's a lot you could cut from this movie and really hone in on your core Guardians. Sorry, Sean Gunn, get Kraglin out of this movie. Get fucking Cosmo out of this movie.
If I did have to make a note on this movie, and I like Sean Gunn.
Yeah.
It is like, James Gunn clearly can't see clearly when it comes to his brother, you know, like
100. And again, same as you, nothing against Sean Gunn and his performance. No. He just doesn't need to be in this movie.
No, like his big moment,
yeah,
for lack of better words, for no spoilers, is like, okay.
Yeah. And, okay. And again, from the comics, I really like Cosmo, and I like Maria Bakalova as Cosmo. It's just this movie has a lot of things to do.
Where did Cosmo come from?
So in the comics, Cosmo was part here. The only moment is in Guardians 1. Cosmo is in one of the collector's chambers.
Okay.
But that's it. That's all the context. So it's basically an Easter egg. Like, hope you were paying attention to the Easter eggs in Guardians 1, because that's all the backstory we get for Cosmo.
Okay, because I wasn't.
Yeah. And it's fun. It's a fun character. And there's a bit between her and Sean Gunn that is incredibly transparent. Like, you know 100% where it's going. But it's cute. It's a cute bit. But I'm just saying, like, I would have preferred we cut all that to give some other, like, give Adam Warlock more to do.
I love Mantis.
Mantis is great. She's really fun. She's used really well. And again, I think that's what I'm talking about, is I don't particularly like these characters. I like them a lot in this movie, and I think they're utilized really well in this movie.
What do you think of Elizabeth Debicki?
I mean, she's fantastic in everything. She does get one of my favorite visual gags in it, when High Evolutionary confronts her for the first time. I don't know if that moment got a big laugh in your theater, but I got a big laugh in mine.
I mean, I don't even know what you're talking about.
I guess it's a spoiler, so I'll have to save it for later. I think she didn't need to be in this movie, but she's great. I think she's a great actress. I think she's very easy on the eyes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
But again, that's another one that I feel like you could have cut. I just think the movie's bloated. So that's my main criticism, and it's a bummer, because I feel like I felt like the brunt of that at the end of the movie. So it did affect how I felt leaving the theater. But I want to tell everybody at home and remind myself, like, again, that first two thirds, I really loved it. Like, I was really in it. I was really liking everything they were doing. I really liked the team dynamics. I just don't know that in this, I think it pays off however many Guardians movies really well. If you're like Roxy and you love the first two Guardians movies, you like this ensemble, I think there's a lot here for you. If you're kind of in it for this particular story, I don't know that it lands this particular story as gracefully as I would have liked.
But my friend who's seen neither of the other movies, only this movie, it landed this story for her. Only so, this story.
Your mileage may vary. So now, as we've unsuccessfully tried to do to avoid spoilers, we're going to get into spoilers. We're going to go.
You don't think we avoided?
I think we did okay. I think, you know, I struggle to get around spoilers, very specific things. But now we're going to go to spoilers after this break. All right, we are back to talk about Guardians spoilers. So first off, the most important one is I'm referring to the first time we meet High Evolutionary. He's talking to Aisha, Elizabeth Debicki's character, and he has to step up on that stool to look at her in the face because she's so fucking tall.
Loved that.
Yeah, that was the bit I was talking about. Funny moment. All right, so we got some questions from the Discord that can guide us through our spoiler thoughts.
Good, we need their help.
Jake Hefner, is it a good send-off for both the Guardians and James Gunn? Do you think we'll see any of them on screen again? Well, one we get a promise of at the post. Weirdly, only one of them, like, this one's definitely returning.
I thought that post-credit moment was very strange.
Yeah.
Yes, I thought it was a great send-off for a lot of them. I do think we're going to see many of them return. I think that James Gunn... I don't know that we're calling... It's hard to call it a send-off when we know we're signing up to the next 3 years, 7 years, probably 25 years of being with James Gunn.
Yeah.
Just across the aisle.
Yeah, but he's not... with that in mind, he's probably not going to do good Guardians again.
No. But yeah. And I think he told the story he wanted to tell. Like, I just thought that they ended it so perfectly. I did think, and again, full spoiler.
Yeah,
there was a moment where I thought we were going to lose Star-Lord.
What a I was like, this can't be how Star-Lord dies. This is so stupid. this would be such a stupid way for him to die to save his like little.
Were you getting Carrie Fisher vibes? I was like, interesting. They're going to have him float out into space and somebody go.
And also, fucking, if people listen to what we're into, fucking Flash vibes. Like, don't worry. Just all the blood in his body froze. He is fine.
and he is human.
Yeah.
Soul.
Oh, that's right, because we got rid of any of the ego shit inside of him, right? That was like a plot point. So. Yeah.
Yeah. I loved the humans live for only live for like 50 years.
It was a good bit.
Of even being alive. Yeah. I don't know.
It was a good bit.
Yeah. I thought there was a genuine moment where I thought we were gonna lose Rocket.
Yeah.
And there was a real moment where I thought we were gonna lose Star-Lord. I'm kind of shocked that we didn't lose anybody.
No, this is very much, and I actually kind of applaud this. Is very much happy ending. Everybody, yeah. We're sending them off in the sunset. And we should talk about this. the only kind of sad thing is that like Gamora is not part of the team. But I actually really like the way they handled that. That it's like Star-Lord needs to learn that you can't make this person the person you remember, and also the lesson of like. You've relied on relationships to women a lot. Maybe you kind of need to figure your own shit out. And I think it ended.
Swim.
Yeah, I thought that was like a really positive way to end this.
I agree with you. If I had to have a qualm with the movie, it might actually be this though. Not the Star-Lord angle of it, but when Gamora gets back on the ship, we kind of made a whole point on how that's not her family.
Yeah.
And then they all like, leap on her to embrace her, like,
yeah.
And it was just a way of getting Sly back into the movie because he had barely been in it, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait a second, are these the good guys? Because they're making it feel like they're the good guys, like, yeah. And it's okay, but I'm just like, I get that she's not with us, but I kind of wanted her to get back on the ship and like be sitting there, like, oh, like nobody really cares,
yeah.
You know, because this isn't my people. But they cared like as if they were her people.
And I think the argument there, I totally see your point. I think the argument would be that Star-Lord is the one that says they're not her family. And as we've pointed out, he doesn't really know this Gamora.
Totally.
So maybe that's what we were going for. And also, the end is very much high note. Having like Gamora be sad undermines high note.
Definitely. It was totally fine. It didn't bother me. Like, uh-oh. I was just kind of like, huh.
Also, I have to ask the lover of love and shipper of ships. I thought Star-Lord had way more chemistry with Nebula. I'm like, I'm actually not against this.
I knew you were going to say that, DJ. I knew you were going to try to break my heart. I knew you were going to say that. When he looks at her eyes, oh, I've just never noticed how black they are. I will mark my words. If we see Star-Lord and Nebula get together, I will never watch again.
I'm going to hold you to that. I don't think you mean it, but I'll hold you to it.
I don't mean it, but I will be so pissed. You know what you don't do? Sisters.
Okay, fair. Fair. It's a complicated relationship, especially since one of them is from a different dimension. But
you do not do sisters.
Okay. All right. Going to another question.
Especially sisters that grunt at each other when they walk by.
That bit was weird. I was like, maybe not this bit, but okay. Leonard Kim, it seems like Guardians of the Galaxy 3 will offer Rocket more of a spotlight. Did you feel Star-Lord and the rest of the crew took a bit of a backseat, or did all of the main characters still get to shine?
That was a great balance. Sorry, I'm just jumping right in there.
Do it. DJ. What were you saying?
I thought it was a great balance. I didn't think that Star-Lord took a backseat at all, but I did love the spotlight on Rocket because he's been such a fan favorite for so long, and there's been so many questions about how did you come to be? It was the darkest story they could have told.
Yeah, and by the way, this is up there with Multiverse of Madness of like, oh, ratings are bullshit, because there's a lot in this movie that I'm like, this is our shit. This is R-rated shit.
Close the fucking door. Or open the fucking door.
Open the fucking door. And, but also, not just that, but fucking High Evolutionary's face.
Yeah, totally. So, I really, really liked Rocket getting his spotlight. I'm not running anymore. Opening up about what happened. Nebula's moment. This is even worse than what Thanos did to me. Yeah. Like, I think there is commentary on we all think our trauma is the worst. And then you see other people's and you see how they're dealing with it. And everybody deals with it differently. And I loved the introduction of Lila and Tiefs and Floor. I thought that was so endearing. And like, Rocket, why is he hardened and like more like this than we saw? And I also think that, I don't know how to phrase this perfectly. So give me a little grace on this, people at home, please. But the way that Rocket speaks, he's not the character that you would think would be the smartest. Mm-hmm. Like just the way that he speaks sometimes, I forget.
Yeah.
And then like his ability to problem solve, he's just so smart. And I love that. I love the juxtaposition of like how he's kind of like this shit talking, like what, and then he's maybe the smartest of all of them.
Yeah.
IQ wise.
Yeah. And it's a plot point in this movie. I will say the focus on Rocket is a double-edged sword because I do not think it detracts from the other characters. However, the focus on Rocket is like 90% in flashbacks. So we actually get very little of now Rocket, I think, to the detriment of the movie. I think I would have liked to see these characters connect and interact more post. I would have, if James Gunn's knocking on my door, like, hey, man, you want notes on this one? Oh, me? Thanks. I would like cut Kraglin, cut Cosmo. Let's knock
on DJ's door. Hey, help me with Guardians.
And it would be like, save Rocket sooner. So I get more of his feelings in the now time. Because almost in a weird way, most of the movies focus on Rocket. And yet he feels like he's barely in the movie.
But let me push back on that for a second, DJ, with a question.
Yeah.
Your least favorite act was the third act, which is the act that Rocket is awake for.
But that's my problem, is the third act is where it pays off on all the things that the movie was promising to me, and I think it failed to deliver on those. It set up there's cultures that worship High Evolutionary. There's whole like systems that worship High Evolutionary as a god. We set up High Evolutionary as this massive threat. And then he's just some chump that they kind of like shoot once and he's done. And it's like, all right, we set up all this stuff with Rocket and his dynamic and how everybody feels about it, but they don't ever really converse or talk. We set up Adam Warlock as a huge character in the cosmic comics. We do all this build up and he saves Star-Lord. And it's like, cool, you're part of the team. And it's like, so it didn't pay off on all of those things that the movie was building towards. And that's part of my issue with the third act. So that's why more. Let's like I don't need Kraglin to have a moment. As cool as it was, I don't need Nowhere to show up with a big can. Like the third act throws so much of it. It's like throw the hell beasts or whatever they are, and I'm like, I don't know what these are, but sure. You know what I mean? Like condense, focus more. I would have like all the Guardians team up versus High Evolutionary Adam Warlock. Way OP, and this is where we redeem Adam Warlock to save the day, like really focus in instead of the big battle stuff. And it's kind of my issue with the first Guardians is that the third act just kind of is bloated and falls apart and doesn't really invest in the things that I think are interesting. So it has me, if I'm being candid, although I love the Suicide Squad, it has me a little bit worried about his Superman. I was like,
really?
Yeah, there's some bad habits in the Guardians movies that I hope don't carry over into Superman.
If he's able to juggle all this, imagine what he's able to do when he hones in on one.
Yeah. I mean, I will say also this with Adam Warlock, it is a little cumbersome that we have yet another man-child in the Guardians. We have plenty of those. Adam's version of man-child is different than the other ones. And like you, I did like Will. I think Will Poulter is very well cast. And I hope, as great as Chris Pratt was in this movie, I would have rather the last card be Adam Warlock will return. It's like, give this 90s kid, give me more Adam. You didn't really do Adam Warlock here. I want more.
I loved his arc.
Yeah.
I loved Adam Warlock. Get your mom out of the picture. Let's see what you do when you realize that humanity is about second chances. They gave you one. Him saving Chris Star-Lord in that moment, I was like, yup. I did think it would be funny if Chris Pratt's face never went back to normal.
That was just his, like, hey, don't worry, Star-Lord's returning, but with that face. It's that face he's returning with.
Yeah. Logistic question for you.
Yeah.
Don't know if this bothers anybody else at all. Was kind of confused on it. The iPod goes to 2000s.
Yes.
He left when he was 8.
Yes.
When are we?
And the Guardians timeline is weird because it's not in like Guardians 1 and 2 like happen like right next to each other, and then Infinity War is supposed to be years later. Good question. I don't know. And also when they played the song,
I saw that.
They play Florence and the Machine, and I was like, wait, yeah. When in the 2000s was that? That's even late. Isn't that like the 2010s?
Yeah, Dog Days Are Over. What year Let's does see. That come out? Hold because on. That was
we'll find
that
out.
Was confusing to me that I've always thought that the music stopped at the 90s because when he was 8, he left, and that kind of made sense timeline-wise. Because he says in this movie, I'm not in my 50. How old do you think he's supposed to be?
Good question. Also, how old is Chris Pratt?
I don't know.
How old? 2008. Dog Days Are Over came out in 2008. December
2009.
Well, it's the I have here December 2008, so we're pretty close. Great. Like basically 2009.
So if you were 8 in 2009, that's the last song you have.
Well, and then remember we got the 5-year time jump from the blip.
Right. So that just was I don't like when I get too analytical during movies like this sometimes because it's like, it will ruin a movie for you.
Yeah, and the movie clearly doesn't want you thinking about that.
But I couldn't help it because I was like, okay, so we have to assume that Star-Lord's at least 30. I mean, oh, I don't...
At least.
Come on, like, wait. We're not...
Oh, yeah, and the fact, when they were like, wait, what? I was just watching something where they say the character's 28. That wasn't this movie, was it?
What?
Or I'm thinking about The Flash where he has a second 30th birthday.
Could be. But okay, so if you were in 2009, if you are 8 years old.
Yeah.
So then 22 years later, if you're 30, I mean, so are we way in the future? And he's got to be older than 30, I think.
Well, we're at least 5 years in front of now. I was going to let me know in the chat. This is our spoiler talk. There's no chat. Fuck. Right when we need you. Yeah. Don't know.
It was just a little confusing to me because I also cannot. And somebody correct me. I was thinking about the other soundtracks, and I was like, I feel like we've very consistently stopped at the 90s.
But remember, so first one was the cassette he had from when he was a kid. Second one was the one his mom gave him. So that updated it more. And then he got the Zune, which the Zune I don't think belonged to. Zune was just something I think Kraglin had. I think we'd have to go back to 2. And so it's like that could go up to, that was not on his person when he left the planet.
Okay, but then why does it stop in the 2000s?
Because that's when Zune stopped.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know, but I had the same question. When Florence and the Machine played, I was like,
dragging you into my rabbit hole on this. That does not matter. I just spent too much time during the movie thinking about it.
When they played that song, I'm like, I like this song, but I have questions about the time and the place and the, no, I'm with you. But yeah, I liked the team. I really like Nebula. I like what we did with Mantis a lot. This is the most I've liked Drax. Of course, I love Dave Bautista. I think a lot of what makes Drax work is Dave Bautista. I think he's so good.
Me too. And it's a bummer that I feel like Dave Bautista doesn't love, but it's like, I love what you've done here, man.
Yeah. He's so good. Like there's moments in this. I'm like, God, it's insane how talented you are.
I love the ongoing gag about Groot and people understanding and Gamora being like, what the hell?
Oh, what did you think about Groot saying, I love you guys at the end? I was like, this feels unearned.
My interpretation of that is that he's saying, I'm Groot.
I like that interpretation.
And that what we're hearing as part of the family now is, I love you guys.
I don't think
he's actually saying, I love you guys. I think that would be egregious, but it's not clear.
Yeah, I like that interpretation, especially the implication that now we're part of the group, so we understand him. Yeah. I like that. Also, I was a little bit bummed, considering how core the Rocket-Groot relationship is. I didn't feel that as much in this movie. That said, Groot gets a lot of very cool moments in this movie.
Totally. When he decided, like, his strangulation tactic.
Yes.
Is like sick.
Yeah.
All in that moment where he thinks Star-Lord's going to go and he tries to put his branches out and they're freezing off. And I was like, that's very cool. I just do love the power. Like, I love that everybody is needed. And they make such a point of that in this with the Mantis, with this, and with Drax being able to speak the language. Confusing that the language is not in Nebula's system or Mantis's system, but then Drax knows it. I don't get that.
Yeah, totally. Because I assumed it's not in her system because it's an invented, this is a new species. Yeah, exactly. Right, so how would Drax know it? But sure.
What is your understanding of who are these kids?
They're the new thing he's making. So they're the new, he made, at some point he made the gold people, and then at some point he made the animal people, and then that's right. My understanding. And then he made these people, which is why I assumed she didn't know the language, but then Drax does. So then it's like, so where did that come from then?
Usage of what he learned from the animals? He made these kids?
Yeah, there's just the next phase of whatever he's doing. So I don't know if he made them from animals or, because he didn't make the gold people from animals. With that scene was, that's what I'm talking about. At that moment, I'm like, fuck, High Evolutionary might be the fucking worst villain we've had. Like, not worst, he's good. The performance is great, and he's a major threat. He might be the most threatening villain we've had, at least since Thanos. And then I was kind of, and I gotta say, of course, you all know, I have a track record. I was lukewarm on Jonathan Majors. Before all this shit went down, I was already lukewarm about Jonathan Majors' Kang. High Evolutionary gets a very similar arc in this movie as Kang. And I'm going to mispronounce the name again. Chikwudi Ugwuoji acts circles around Jonathan. He does so much more with what he's given in those scenes. Both
excellent actors, but I do love, and even them spelling it out for us, which we didn't need, but I'm aiming for perfection. The point is perfection.
Yeah.
And it's like, ooh, you scary.
And there's a moment, and I think a lot of this, you were talking about this in something else, like the performance does a lot. He has that moment where he's like, God doesn't exist, so I stepped in. That tells me a lot about this character. Like, he clearly has something he has not unpacked from his childhood that we could dive into.
Definitely. The moment where we save all the animals and then we're throwing one of them across and the like monkey claws somebody.
I was like,
this is a problem.
I love that James Gunn's mind goes there. He's like, well, not all the animals would behave great in this moment. Right. That's just realistically.
I loved the town, the like Pleasantville vibe of all of these animals grown up in the town that we went to, and like them taking them into their house and stuff. I was like, this is interesting. I could live here for a minute and see what's up.
Well, and I think my instinct, especially as I'm thinking about, I'd like to cut things to make more room for other stuff. I think part of me would be like, well, maybe you don't need that, but you really do, because it sells when he just blows up the planet. You're like, time out. These are people. Like they have homes and shit, and like they have lives. Like, what are you doing?
Totally.
God, High Evolutionary is sucks, man. He was a good villain. I'm ambiguous. They leave him alive, but also the ship blows up at the end. I wouldn't mind seeing High Evolutionary show up again.
Is Zoe Saldana the biggest star of the decade?
She's in all of the highest grossing movies ever. So there's, I would argue that those movies underutilize her for how talented she is, but she's in them. She's in them. She's really, that's the thing that I'm like, is like, in the other movies, she kind of gets slotted into team mom. Like, hey, everybody, we're going to do the right thing. This version of Gamora, it's like, yeah, this is compelling. And there's the moment where when she finally snaps on Peter and she's like, fuck you. You need to let go of the fact that I'm not that person. I'm like, this is great. We need to give Zoe Saldana more shit like this. This is really good.
The open comms scene was so funny. Was Why good. Didn't you guys tell me? Because we were all just hoping it would stop.
Stop. Fuck. Yeah, there's a lot of good bits. The fucking couch bit. There's a lot of good jokes. I love... the Nathan couch. Fillion joke of like, oh yeah, I got one of those guys. This guy. Amazing. Such an idiot.
Amazing. And it's like, you the idiot, babe. It's you.
Oh man. And also not for nothing, that sequence where they're breaking into the living organism corporation thing. Gorgeous. Like a lot of great, like the fact that the cameras are eyes. That's another, his wife shows up in this one and it's like,
when I saw her, I was like, all right, I'd do that too.
I respect it. Listen, you love the people you love, man. It is getting kind of distracting.
DJ, that's just for you and me. The average moviegoer is not distracted by that.
Yeah, and also, she's great. And the moment where Gamora like shoots her in the leg, it's like, did she really shoot her in the leg? Oh my god!
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, the performance was like, oh shit! And I think
I loved when Star-Lord's convincing the other girl to let him use the computer.
I think it's hard to tell because she's in like pink face makeup. I think that's Ratcatcher too, because is in the movie. And the only person I can think that it would be her.
Wow, I didn't even notice that. Yeah. Who is Michael Rosenbaum in this?
He's Crystal Face guy. He's with Stallone, Sylvester Stallone.
That's him. Okay.
Yeah, you see him like briefly. And I think in Guardians 2, one of them was voiced by, like the robot was voiced by Taylor Swift. I don't know if they went through the trouble to do that again here. That was another moment of like, do we need to get Gamora there. And I love Sylvester Stallone. I'll accept it. And I know I've been bagging on that wasn't huge on the way Adam Warlock was utilized in this movie. I wanted more, but I will say seeing Adam Warlock throw down with Drax was like it was just cool because they butt heads in the comics and it's cool. It was like, we got that. You're
coming around, DJ.
And well, also it was a great introduction to the character because he wrecks shop, man. Like he basically murders all the Guardians.
Totally.
Anyway, so I think I might notes. Enjoy the movie. Recommend the movie. I think we can both say that if you enjoy the other Guardians movies, definitely don't sleep on this one.
Right.
I will say it is a lot of the emotional. I got very emotional in scenes. It is a little bit cheap because it's cute animals. It's easy to get there, but you did. I definitely was on board with Rocket and his little crew of friends.
It's kids and animals.
That's the cheat code to the feels. But you utilized it well, so I'll allow it. Roxy, where can people find you?
Everywhere at Roxy Stryer.
You can find me everywhere that matters at DJ Talks Trash. You can follow the show everywhere that matters at Only Stupid Answers. But on Twitter,
Nico the Vowels from Stupid.
We got there, everybody. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you all next time. Bye.